Amen. If you do have your Bibles, can I ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew? I'm going to read a very well-known scripture, the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be reading from chapter 9 and then verse 14. Okay, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 14. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this word to us as we approach it. Holy Spirit, we recognize you as the teacher, always. So we invite you to flow through me, give me the right words to say, right heart, and anoint the ears of those who are listening in the sound of my voice, that their understanding might be enlightened, Lord. Eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we might receive an impartation of your Holy Spirit this evening, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Thank you that no weapon formed against this word will prosper, because greater is he that is in us than that one that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. All right, we're going for Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to read verse 14 down to 17. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Yeshua said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Then straight after that, this is what he says. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." All right, let's just jump through to Corinthians. I just want you to bear that scripture in mind. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. We all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm sure everybody realizes that you and I were not born again to stay as we were. There used to be an advert in my day and age for Cain Spirit, Mainstay. You can stay as you want for the rest of your life, or you can change to Mainstay. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. It was beautiful, yacht and sea and sky. And, oh, you can stay as you like for the rest of your life, or change to Mainstay and all this will be yours. But obviously it was a lie. Anyway, the point is this: you and I are not supposed to stay as we are for the rest of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And we're not going to change by drinking any amount of Mainstay or any other alcohol. For your information, let me make that very clear. That advert is not biblical, all right? But we are supposed to be changing from glory to glory. Now the question is, are we changing from glory to glory? Well, we are, I believe. But I think if every saint was continually changing from glory to glory to glory, I'm talking about every saint, we would have wrapped this whole thing up a long time ago. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, we are changing, but we could change a lot faster, a lot better. And obviously there are things that stop us from changing from glory to glory. Amen. We've spoken about this before. I preached some time back about not feeding our spirit correctly. It stops us from growing from glory to glory. There are a number of reasons. But I read that scripture about the wineskin, all right, to explain something. You see, one of the patterns, let me put it this way. Remember, the Bible is a book full of patterns. For us to grow, we have to see the patterns, grasp the concept, and implement it. Amen? Not every situation is the same, but the patterns are. And can I explain it this way? You see, for you and I to move from one degree of glory to the next, something has got to happen. Let me call it the process of life. All right? You see, before I can move from where I am to another place, I have to leave something behind. Amen. If I'm not prepared to leave it behind, what's going to happen?
I'm going to stay with you.
You will stay as you are for the rest of your life. You see? Now, it's a pattern of life. I mean, you will not go to heaven unless you're prepared to lay down your body. Is that right?
Yeah.
Quite a thought, isn't it? Now, you're not requested to lay down your life prematurely, believe it or not, but that is the ticket to move. Right? Now, can I just say something, though? With faith, it is possible on this earth to live as though we were in heaven. Remember the rich young ruler? He came asking, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the first thing the Lord said to him is, "Why do you call me good?" That would have knocked me for six. But anyway, what he said to him, "Go and give everything." He didn't say you can't have eternal life, did he? He didn't say, "No, I can't have, give it to you, you filthy rotten sinner." He didn't say that. He said, what are the commandments? He gave him all the commands, did all that, done all that. But what did he have to do to move? And what the Lord was actually saying to him, eternal life isn't something you have to wait for. See, what he was hoping for, to live a nice long life and to really live forever, basically, like so many people. But you see, the Lord was saying to him, you can have eternal life starting now. Right? You can have it now. Don't have to wait. You can have it now. But what did he have to do? You understand? To move into the eternal, he had to let go the temporal. Can you see that? He had to. Doesn't mean that God didn't want him blessed. Don't make that mistake. The Lord wasn't condemning him to penury for the rest of his life because that's the way to eternal life. No. He was saying the way is open for you. But before you can do it, what do you have to do? You have to let something go. Die. Can you see that? It's a pattern. It's a pattern. For you and I to move from one degree of glory to the next, inevitably, something has got to die. Lest the seed fall to the ground and die, it cannot grow. Amen? It cannot grow. That seed that you plant, what's the process for that seed? It can't live there like a seed for the rest of its days. You see, it's got to actually die. It's the very start of your Christian walk. Haley got baptized. What happened there? As I explained, what had to happen? The old man had to be symbolically buried, right, for new life to emerge. Can you see that? The message God is planting in your mind at the very beginning. To go forward, something has to die. All right? Now, let's go to this parable of the wineskins, all right? Now, here you've got a wineskin, you see, and you get fresh wine. And the Lord gave a very simple parable. You can't put fresh wine into an old wineskin. All right? Why not? Because that wineskin has become shriveled up and dried, and the new wine, the pressure will just burst it. You get it? Now, I just thought to myself, a different angle to this whole thing. I've understood that in the past. But who would want to keep an old wineskin? You understand? Who would want to keep an old wineskin? That sounded quite odd until I looked at my own life. There's something in us that wants to hold on to the old wineskin. You understand? I bought that at a fashion market, you know, that wineskin. It's quality stuff. That's pure leather. Patent leather wineskin. I'm not going to throw that away. Let me make it more relevant. Before that, it speaks about putting a new cloth on an old garment. Hallelujah. Why would anybody want to keep an old garment? I ask myself. You know, Janet has a battle to get me to get rid of this old stuff. Am I right, my darling?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but it's quite a job, even with the Holy Spirit. I used to have a lovely jersey. But it stretched, you see, beyond measure. I couldn't wear it in public. But Janet hated the thing because it made me look like a tramp. You think that's funny? Well, it was a tramp jersey. What happened is, suddenly the tramp jersey had gone... It was the Holy Spirit. But now, I must admit, I was rather upset. But, you know, thank God for my wife. I mean, hallelujah. But my cupboard now sits full of old clothes. I've lost quite a lot of weight. Some of it will fall off if I put it on. But do you think I'll go and give it away or get rid of it? I come home and got all these lovely shirts. Which one do I put on?
The old
T-shirt. You understand? Now the question is why? Why? Why do we hold on to the old stuff? Exactly. Exactly. We feel so comfortable. Do you get it? Tim's on my case. I've got this computer here, and I also bought myself a
MacBook Pro straight out of the box.
And he said, Dad, throw this away, basically. Make the change. Make the change. That makes sense, doesn't it? Quality piece of equipment I've got there. Now, I do use it. Don't get me wrong. But guess what? When it comes to a lot of stuff that I do, this old machine, is it? I'm comfortable. You get it? I'm comfortable. Please understand the principle. You see, God is saying to you now, if you want to move from one degree of glory to the next, what have we got to do? There's stuff that we have to discard. Are you hearing me? There's stuff that if we don't discard, if God wants to put new wine into us, it will just crack and He won't do it. Does that make sense? You see? Now, when we talk about old stuff, we're not necessarily talking about clothing, computers, etc. We're talking about lifestyle, you understand? Habits. Hallelujah. Very often, people want to move from one degree of glory to the next, and it's not happening. Why? Habits. All right? Habits. And please, we all understand bad habits. Okay, we can understand, you know, if I'm puffing about 60 cigarettes a day, God's not going to bless me with a healing ministry. For a start, my nicotine-stained hands will probably transfer more sickness than anything else. But you see, that is true. There are certain things you and I have to give up to make space for God. Does that make sense? My eating habits, for a start, were stopping me from going forward with God. Had to change them. They've crept back, by the way.
No, no.
You see, I'm addicted to sugar, but I got over it. I was getting over it. You know what happened? A cold snap came. Does anybody understand what it's like to be cold without any energy? Well, does this ring a bell? I mean, you know, the best cure for a cold night is a little piece of chocolate. A better recipe for a cold night is a bigger piece. And if you want to survive the whole night, you take the whole slab. You see, so... I mean... But you see, I'm not going to get anywhere if I don't deal with it. You all understand? That old wineskin is going to kill the process. I've got to change. But the funny thing is, you and I, as human beings, we get comfortable. We get comfortable. So many people will not move forward with God. You know why? They're so comfortable with the monkey on their shoulder. They keep stroking it. That little sin, they just love it. Will not let it go. It's like the monkey and the calabash, isn't it? I don't know if this actually works, but I mean, apparently it does. You put the seeds in the calabash, the monkey comes, and he loves the seeds so much he puts his hand in there. Now what? Fist closed, can't get out, right? So he's stuck, he's trapped. What does he have to do to get free before the farmer comes and shoots him through the head? It's quite hard to shoot a baboon, by the way. They're very crafty when it comes to being hunted. How clever is this? Really? I mean, he's holding on to the seed. The farmer comes to shoot him. All he's got to do is what? Let go and he can go. But will he do it?
No.
Will he do it? And you say, well, that's a stupid monkey. Let me tell you a true story. We're sitting in church. You've heard this before. The pastor says, and I've seen the notice, so-and-so in the church has got cancer. And then the pastor says, this lady is with us, so we must pray for her. And I discovered that she's sitting right behind me. So, I just couldn't wait for the service to end. because you see the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. So the lady's got cancer. I assume that means she's sick. Am I right? I'm a believer. I've got two hands. I can't wait after the service to lay my hands on her and trust God to make her recover. So the service ends and I go to her. I say, hello, I can't remember her name. I'm Graham. I'd like to pray for you. Oh! It was like, you know, I was wanting to shoot her. No, no, don't you get your filthy Pentecostal hands on me. This was a Baptist church, by the way. They didn't believe in healing. I didn't know that at the time. And I thought to myself, isn't that queer? I mean, if I was ill, I'd be so grateful if somebody came and gave it a go at least. Amen? Am I right? And I thought about it afterwards. Do you know the conclusion I came to? And Janet and I spoke about it, and we came to the same conclusion. That sickness that she had, can you believe this? She had children, two children, I think, but that sick young lady, that sickness that she had, in a sense, elevated her in the eyes of everybody. Because she was no longer just Mrs. So-and-so. She was Mrs. So-and-so with cancer. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Aren't we creatures sometimes more foolish than blessed baboons?
Amen.
No, not amen. Oh, no. Isn't that sad? She died 2 weeks later, by the way. Was that God's will?
No.
Do you think that if I prayed for her, she would have been healed?
Yes.
It's debatable, but she would have had a chance. Amen? What was the problem? Can you believe it? She wouldn't let go. Something that was killing her, she would not let it go. So in a sense, no matter who prayed for her, it was a done deal. Can you see that? Now you see, how does that apply to you now? None of us have got cancer. Thank you very much. Everybody's got through the COVID. Bless God. It's a COVID-free zone, by the way. Hallelujah. Now let me put it a bit further. It's a sickness-free zone. You don't accept any sickness whatsoever. If it comes, it's an enemy, all right? You aren't an enemy, but sickness is. The point I'm trying to make is, it's not so much just the dramatic things, it's everyday things. Let me explain it this way. Do you know that if you want to go forward from one degree of glory to the next, you and I have got to change what we say. Amen? You cannot expect to go forward in God's glory if you and I are using our mouth wrong. Amen? That's an old wineskin that has to be chucked away. You know what I've discovered? The Israelites had this problem as well. There's a place where you and I can almost get addicted to complaining. Did you know that? Have you ever met somebody? The moment you ask them how they are, you suddenly wish you'd never asked. Because they spend the next hour telling you. Now please get me right. There is a place for sharing our burdens one with another. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
There's a place for that. But let me tell you, there's a big difference between sharing our burden with one another and going on and on sharing my burden onto you. You get it? And some people just cannot speak without telling you all of their difficulties. Amen? The Israelites had the same problem. In the wilderness. Oh, my soul. They're all very good to praise God when things were going well. Remember, they crossed the sea and all that stuff. God parted an ocean. And then you must have seen Miriam, oh, my soul, on the tambourine. Really hot. She led 1 million people, plus minus, with a tambourine. That's pretty anointed, don't you think? And she sang the song of Miriam. Praise God, the horse and the rider he has cast into the sea. And they were all jubilant. They were all jubiling. Hallelujah. 2 weeks later, in the wilderness, no steak, no prawns. Not even pup and gravy. Not even pup and gravy. What did they start doing? Murmuring. Complaining. Murmuring. Now please, if somebody can part an ocean to let a nation go through, and close an ocean to make a whole army drown. The man knows his plumbing. Am I right? The man knows his plumbing. You know, we needed him here at 11 Mercier Park. But, I mean, really, he knows his plumbing. Now, if he knows his plumbing that well with oceans, do you think that he could possibly supply, you know, a bit of water for a few folk and their cattle? Of course he could. But you see, they didn't see it, and what did they start doing? Murmuring. Do you know what happened with that murmuring? Cost them 40 years in the wilderness, and they all died. They could not move from one degree of glory to the next. Do you see that? They could not move from where they were into the promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you and I are sitting here and we continually rehearsing our problems. Maybe not to everybody else, but oh, you know, I was very good at this. I should have got a degree in complaint. It was the University of Heaven. I hate to talk about myself in this way, but I was famous in heaven for throwing the most magnificent pity parties. Oh, I would rehearse all the difficulties that poor old Graham, this humble servant of the Lord, had to endure. Did you see what they did to me, Lord? Why me, Lord? And I'm going on and on and on and on. Murmur, 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 murmur. This is prayer, by the way. Intercession. And all of a sudden, heaven gets very quiet. And then I wise up a bit and I say, hello? And you know what? The word comes, strength 5 from heaven. When are you going to finish? You get it? Started to learn these things pretty early on. You're wasting your time. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to go to God and say, Lord, I'm battling with this. Can you help me? You understand? Share our burdens with Him. It's fine. But we can so easily get into this habit of negative speech about our situation, our life, etc. And what is the problem with that? If you and I are continually rehearsing the problem, guess what? That old wineskin will keep you and I from moving forward. You get what you talk. Did you know that? You get what you talk. What you consistently say, that is what you and I get. So if you continue complaining to God about this, that and the other, you're stuck with this, that and the other. And God can't help you. Why? You see? We have to change what we say. That's an old wineskin that we have to throw out. Amen? Throw out. Let me tell you another old wineskin that we have to throw out. Stinking thinking. Can you see? You and I are continually thinking the wrong thoughts about how God can't help me, how He hasn't helped me, how I'm sick, how I haven't got any money, how there's no future for me, the country's going to rack and ruin, blah, 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 blah. You're thinking that in your mind, and you'll pick up those thoughts every time you look at social media, etc., etc. So we've got to learn to be disciplined, what I'm saying. But if your mind and my mind are continue on those things, do you know what will happen? Nothing. Amen. Nothing. You'll stay where you are. You'll stay as you are for the rest of your life. And many people do, see. We have to confront every thought that is contrary to the knowledge of God. And God only thinks good stuff. Did you know that? Amen. He doesn't see problems. He sees the answer because He is the answer. That's what we need to do. If we continue looking at God, and if you're battling to do that, start to praise and worship Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You understand? We move from one degree of glory to the next. Amen. So you see, it's very important for you and I to understand that as we are moving with God, now please, we've got to understand something. It's not necessarily bad things that we have to get rid of. Okay? It's old things. Let me explain the scripture here. Let's go to 2 Kings. I want you to see something. Very important to grasp this. 2 Kings 18 verse 4. There's a background to the story that took place 1,000 years before, okay? 2 Kings 18 verse 4. Before we read it, there was a stage where Israel was busy complaining as usual in the wilderness. God got fed up. He sent serpents, fiery serpents. They bit everybody. Everybody was bitten like with scorpion and people were dying. That's how fed up God was with His chosen people. Moses, being the great intercessor, got on his knees, oh God, what must I do? And God told him what to do. Make a staff and put on the staff a brazen serpent. In other words, a serpent made out of bronze, copper. Right? So anybody who looks on that will be healed, which happened. So he saved the day. Obviously, a type, picture, a pattern of the cross, you understand? Because anybody who looks on the Lord will be healed, saved. You get it? So that was a pattern. Anyway, but before even that happened, this brazen serpent they carried around with them in the wilderness, obviously. When they became Israel, they had it with them. The problem was that they started to worship the thing. Hezekiah, when he became king, he was a good king, by the way. All right, now Hezekiah is 25, I think. Yeah, 25 years old. He becomes king and he starts to implement reform. Verse 3, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan, which means thing of brass. Now I want us to grasp something. Was that brazen serpent a good thing? At the time, yes. It was God's means of salvation. All right, do you see this? But what happened? Subtly, the means of salvation became an object of worship. Now, the message here is this, you see. Very often, the means of our salvation, if we don't have a heart in the right place, the means of salvation today can become the idol of tomorrow. All right? And unless we're prepared to push this idol out of the way, you see, we can't move forward. We can't move. Many of you will remember Edda. Does everybody remember Edda? Elderly lady lived in the complex. Janet kindly went and shared with her the gospel. Friend of a friend. And slowly but surely, Edda, who had, in a sense, grown up in the Lutheran church, you see, she came to understanding and she eventually got baptized right in this bath here, actually. Is that right here?
Yeah.
In the bath, yeah. Anyway, she passed on, tried to get her healed, but it was a battle. She wouldn't give up the old wineskin of nicotine, and she died of lung cancer. Surprise, surprise. But anyway, so the funeral was arranged. It was Edda's sister who arranged it very kindly. But her sister was a staunch Lutheran, you see. So as a result, we had to take a back seat, and the Lutheran came and did the service. And they said, let's sing hymn number so-and-so. So I stood up. We normally stand up to sing, do we not? Daddy said, no, you mustn't stand up to sing. We Lutherans, we stand up to pray. We sit down to sing. Anyway, that was a minor issue. It didn't bother me. Janet was given a chance to speak, and she spoke of how Ed had got baptized. You see. Oh, this was now right. Oof. This was Nehushtan if ever there was. Oh, my soul.
What happened?
Well, it happened. I mean, that was the truth. But he accosted us afterwards. Oh, yes. He accosted us afterwards. And he said, it's in the Bible. And he said, we'll make an appointment to talk about it in the Bible. But it never happened. I don't know why, because obviously it's not in the Bible. But he said something. He said something, which struck me as rather odd. He said, we've been doing it this way for 400 years. Now the thinking was, if we've been doing it for 400 years, it must be right. You can't argue with that. We had the whole of history against us. But I needed to tell him, we've been doing it this way for 2,000 years. You see, and because of that, their church is like ours, but they meet in a garage, and there's about 10 people, apparently. Now, what am I trying to get at? We're not comparing, we're not trying to criticize anybody. But what's happened here? The old ways have become their comfort zone. You understand? In the Reformation, those things that they did were revolutionary, you see? And that was the means of salvation. We are Lutherans, we are not Catholic. You see? But what happened? Subtly, what was new? Right? Then the identity became the idol. Amen? You see, you and I have to move from one degree of glory to the next. So does the Church of the Living God. Amen.
Amen.
And you see, for the Church of the Living God to move from glory to glory, what has she got to do? You understand? What have we got to do? Identify that which has become dry wineskins, old wineskins, and do what? Toss them off. Amen. Now, I have to sound this warning. Please, it's really important that we get The whole story. Because remember, with God, there's always two sides to the story. Can you all say amen? There's always two sides. You see, we can get into the habit of merrily casting off what we consider as old. Amen? But in the process, what are we doing? Casting out the baby with the bath water. Alright, now, listen very carefully. Our duty as children of the living God is to identify those principles which are eternal. Can you all say amen? That which is eternal, we have to discern and hold on to. Right? So important. Just because something's old doesn't mean that it is redundant. Amen? Just because something has been with us forever doesn't mean that it's now redundant. There are some things that will always remain. And whatever changes we make, they must always, always accommodate that which is eternal. Can you all say amen? Let me give you an example. Covenant is eternal.
Amen.
Amen? The church will always and forever be built on this basic principle of covenant. Call it covenant love. You see? It will always be built on that. No matter what, this covenant we have with God remains. You see? And as soon as we start including doctrines in our modus operandi, which ignores covenant, guess what? Satan is moving us off our purpose. Amen? Marriage is covenant. Amen? It will always be based on covenant. It will always be. Church will always be based on covenant. The moment we break that, we're stepping away from God. Now let me give you an example. I just want to expose the devil. Would you like to see the devil's underpants? It's not a pretty sight. Amen. Not a pretty sight, but he needs to be exposed. Let me tell you what's been happening in this few years here with this whole COVID saga. Very subtly, underneath all of it, is an attack against the Church of the Living God. Did you know that?
Amen.
Yes, there are medical implications. I'm not disagreeing with that. Please don't get me wrong. It's a terrible thing, as we have experienced firsthand. We're not minimizing that. But you see, the devil is very crafty. Let me tell you one of his big strategies. I'm going to make him very angry for exposing him here. He's going to throw his toys out of the cot. But that's good. You see, his strategy is to create a fuss over here. Meanwhile, he's doing something very subtly over here. Do you get it? So we all worry about the big fuss. And what does he do? Quietly. Do his thing. We've got to have our wits about us to keep our eyes open on the thing he's actually doing. Now you see, let's look at what's happened with COVID. You see, you and I can very easily say to ourselves, well, the church has got to move with the times. And the times are all about the internet, social platforms, etc. All right? And they have to be used. Please hear me out. We're not ignoring that. We have to move with the times. But you see, what is the devil's plan? To subtly replace real church with internet. I was in a hardware store just up the road here. And there was other gentleman there, obviously a minister. I don't know which church, I have no idea. But obviously, because the people are talking to him about this whole, it's right at the beginning of this COVID thing. And they're talking about, what are you doing with your big church and all the rest? And I'll never forget, he said, oh, we just live stream now. That's what he said. But pick up the actual spirit of it. What he was saying is, the future of the church is just live stream, you see. And immediately the alarm bells went off in my spirit. What we've got to grasp is that, you see, the essence of church being covenant is an expression of that covenant. Amen? You can convey information as much as you like through the internet, and we're not against it, we do it ourselves. Does everybody understand it? We're not going back to the Middle Ages and saying, oh, you know, that's all from the devil. No, it's got to be used for the kingdom, and people do. We do. All right. But what is the subtle trick of the enemy? Quietly, just this business of you and I just getting together. Meeting one with another. Forget about that. Just forget about that. You see? Let me tell you, when this whole COVID thing is over, It's going to be difficult for people that have relied totally on live streaming to get those people to come back. Amen. What is church? Relationship. Just stand up. Everybody just stand up. Let me tell you what the beauty of real church is. Just give somebody a hug. Just give somebody a hug. Amen. Just give somebody a hug. Amen. Just give somebody a hug. Come here, Daniel. I've missed you. My disciple. Amen. Right, you can calm down now.
I'm sorry you never get
it. Come on, Rufie, give me a hug. Give me a hug. There we go. Hallelujah. Come on, Ruf, give me a hug. There we go. Now, folks, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Come on, children. Order in the court. Okay. One more. Oh, shame, you know, I haven't given my son a hug. This is terrible.
I'm looking for the Swiss roll.
Yes, the Swiss roll. All right. Can I just say something? Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how powerful that is? When you and I hug one another, what are we saying? You're valuable. You're precious. God loves you. I love you. We love you. Let me tell you, the world out there is crying for that.
Amen.
That is more of a sermon than anything I could say. You understand? And what is the devil's trick? Stop that. Because he knows just how powerful that is. You and I continually being affirmed, the body of Christ, our families, turns us into powerful individuals who know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Take that away, and you know what we become? Lost in the wilderness, worried about who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, where we're going. You understand? Let me tell you just one more trick of the devil. I was talking to a young man involved with worship yesterday, and his dad came out of the same era as we did with worship and praise that was the norm in the 70s, 80s. And we were saying that something's been lost. And he was agreeing, yes, something's been lost. And you see, what's actually been lost is that, once again, the enemy has subtly seen the gap. Now, I need to explain something. When we worship God, something powerful happens. We've had an experience of that just earlier here, where the presence of God comes. But you see, there has to be a certain understanding. There are certain principles that are eternal. When it comes to worship, there are certain principles that are eternal. Now you see, the externals being the style, the type of music, etc., those can change, and they must change. We can't spend our lives singing the Lutheran hymns. Some of them are very beautiful, by the way, whether you're standing or sitting. But there are certain basic principles. We need to understand that. And what actually happened is, in the 70s and 80s, the church tapped into those principles, but I don't think they fully understood them. Because they didn't understand the principles, the devil was able to just get them off. All with the pretense of moving with the time. Get rid of the old wineskin. Amen? I hope you're all hearing me. Getting rid of old wineskins is not just changing because of change. It's changing the face, yes, but it's not going away from the principle. I just want to explain the principle very quickly so people here understand what we do. You see, music is made up of three things. Any music. Harmony, rhythm, and melody. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. All right? The human being is made up of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Right? Now, the correlation is this. Your and my spirit correlates with melody. What I mean by melody is what you can whistle. You hear a song and you can whistle it. You understand? That's the melody. Alright? Harmony, the soul. Our soul man. How we feel. Okay? And with certain chords, harmonies, you can create a certain feel. The third area is rhythm. The body. The physical body. And you see, God wants every part of us involved with worship. And we start normally with the physical body. We become involved with the emotions. And if we know what we are doing, please listen carefully. We move from there into the spirit. Now what I need to explain is this. Rhythm is to do with the body, okay? That's why we have jive-y sort of music to start off with. Harmony is to do with the soul, the emotions. But if you and I want to move into the spirit, what have we got to have? Melody. Melody to go into the spirit. You know what the devil has done? Subtly, through the world's music, he's extracted melody. Do you know that? Very few songs these days have a real tune. When I was a teenager, and you'll all laugh, my brother and I had our band, our rock band. Hallelujah. In those days I had hair. Amen. I'd have put you to shame, Bronwyn. I had hair. And after school experience, I let it grow. Hallelujah. And I used to play the drums. Oh yes, this was the 60s. You know, and we used to have rock and roll. You're not allowed to laugh at me, but you can laugh with me. The great moment when Graham on his drums, all these beautiful cymbals, and then I would toss my head. Hallelujah. Then it went to another level. Oh yes. But what I'm trying to say is, although we were totally godless, etc., a lot of those songs, let me tell you, are still listened to today. Why? They understood melody. They understood melody. The great songwriters, the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, all these people, the Bee Gees, you listen to their music, the key is the melody. I'm not saying it's godly, it's godless, a lot of it, but the key, and it reaches the heart of people, you see. So what did the devil do? Very subtly, in the world, he extracted melody. And so now we've got just your... If you've driven past a car like that, you know, it's almost like dancing. You don't even have to have a musician. All you've got to do is plug in the machine and you've got a beatbox that does it for you, you know, really. No melody, no nothing. La 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 umpa umpa la 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 umpa umpa yeah umpa umpa umpa. Okay, you understand? But now listen, carefully, please. I want you, please. Can you just bear? This turned into a late night Sunday comedy. Can you just bear me out? Listen to how subtle the devil is. All right. So the world out there has got this kind of music which has basically been stripped of any kind of melody. All right. And here comes the blessed church, you see. The blessed church. And the thinking in the church is, we must reach these folk. All right. And to reach these folk, we need to play their music. Are you hearing me? So what do we do? Do I think we mustn't reach these folk? We must. But we come in trying to reach them, playing their... And because they like an environment, put on the strobes. With the lights and the smoke machine. Hallelujah. And the... Guess what? The disco ball.
That's the 60s. That's the wine skin that we left there.
Okay, now please... Can you all, I'm not saying this is the case in every case, but it's become the norm, the way it's done. What subtly happened? Let me tell you what subtly happened. Without any melody, we can get so far to create an environment, but we cannot break through into the spirit.
Why?
Because the melody is tied up with the spirit of the man. That's the way God has made it, all right? And if you and I cut out melody, We can enjoy an environment. And a lot of churches, they just have a lovely vibe. But when it comes to actually cutting through into the presence of God, because there's no melody, it doesn't happen. All right? It doesn't happen. So you see, what I'm trying to say is, we've got to be cautious. As a church, we need to move forward. Yes, we need to embrace the changing environment around it. We have to. We cannot stay the way that we were for 400 years. We can't. We have to change. But in that change, please bear in mind fundamental issues. Some things are eternal. We have to discern them through the Word of God and by the Spirit. And we need to hold on to those things. Can you all say amen? So that we, as children of God, can move forward in power and authority and do what God has called us to do on the earth. Amen!